He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the August 7th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we have another mixed market here. It seems like the pattern recently has been the market favoring the lower P.E. Dow stocks over the higher P.E. NASDAQ stocks, and that's the case again here today. The Dow's up 236 right now. That's 0.7 of 1%. Last time I looked, it was mostly Boeing and Nike leading the way, Boeing especially. The S&P 500 is up 15 right now. That's about a third of a percent. The S&P is at 44.94. The NASDAQ is down a little bit, down 9. I'm seeing some weakness in Apple again today after pretty much a very lukewarm report last week. The NASDAQ is down 5 points to 13,905. The small caps are down a third of a percent. Crude oil down 84 cents to 81.98. Gold is down $4. It was above 2,000 there for a while. Now it's at 1971. And the 10-year is quiet right now. That was kind of the source of a lot of the sell-off in the market last week, but we're back to 4.07% today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, we now have 84% of the S&P 500 companies in the books with their reports, and we'll kind of review where we're at overall today. And this week we have, let's see, it's another 34 S&P 500 companies, so things really quieting down. We had 166 last week. As we near the end of this earnings season.
Yeah, and the two important numbers are coming from not stock symbols, but they sound like them. Be what, I guess, CPI on Thursday and then the PPI on Friday.
Yes, those will be watched very closely because obviously that's going to be a big determining factor in what the Fed does at their next meeting. Did you see a pattern on Friday that we've kind of seen all summer long in the market?
I usually text you at some point, and there's your fade. It took a little while to kind of fade on Friday, but eventually I guess it did, right?
Yes, and so about every Friday around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I get a text from Barry saying the old Friday fade. You know, I just think it's a part of being summertime. I mean, that's my kind of analysis of it all. They do their bets. They put their chips on the table in the morning, and then they get a early getaway for a weekend in the Hamptons or whatever.
Yeah, there's a reason why that traffic. I hear that traffic is bad, and we go to the Hamptons
on Friday. That's a big indicator. As the traffic increases going north out of New York City, the market starts to fade. And there seems to be some kind of correlation there. So, you know, we had a good day going on Friday, but by the time it was over, the Dow was down 150, and the NASDAQ was down 50. But really the big story of last week, we got to go back to that, was on Wednesday when the Fitch, the ratings company Fitch, downgraded U.S. debt. And now they're in line with what S&P did 11 years ago. That had a major impact on the market. Fitch was really kind of blown away by the needs that were put out by the Treasury of how much money they're going to have to borrow here at the next, at the next rounds of borrowing, the next floating of more debt, and that seemed to be the nail in the coffin there for them lowering the credit rating on U.S. Now, there are other countries around the world now that have better credit ratings than us, and that gives Jamie Dimon, the CEO of J.P. Morgan, some heartburn because he's usually the best credit rating, whoever has the best military.
Yeah, so, right.
I don't know if that's a knock on our military or what, but we did lose our triple A plus credit rating.
I think he's saying you need to take that into consideration in your analysis.
Yes. And then last week, I mean, there were some major beats. I would say the two best earnings reports last week. I would call Amazon the best. And I would probably call Booking.com the second best. Caterpillar was right up there. And then there were some really, really mediocre reports. Well, I thought AMD had a pretty good report, but
They
reported on the day that the credit downgrade happened. I thought that Apple had a really lukewarm, tepid, and you know, it's not a very good chart on Apple, but I do think it will eventually here find a bottom and start working its way up. It did become cheaper last week. I just looked here now. It was 35% upside potential last week. Now it's more in the 50% range. I haven't updated my numbers yet. I don't think it'll change much from that, but at least there's 50% up, which is better than last week.
And if you're looking for a silver lining there, it'd be growth in, you know, growth other places besides the U.S. It was growth in their sales in China and growth, even more importantly, I think their growth in sales in India. But that,
yes.
If you're holding on to the growth story, right, that's where short of some Apple car, you know, that's the short-term area where you see growth. But like you said, it requires some form of innovation before you get that next step. Right to
put yeah,
that to
and,
whatever
uh,
that next level is, because they're already almost, you know, just under a $3 trillion company.
And overall, when you take a look at their global sales of all their products, it's a single-digit grower. I mean, it hasn't entered into the IBM realm of slow growth, but it's definitely headed in that direction unless they can come up with some big, major new product, some new area of growth that's becoming a big dividend payer. At least as of now, Fortinet was one of the subpar, one of the worst reports of the week. That stock was down 25% on Friday. I'll be reevaluating that stock. You know, that's just the way it is. I usually come through earnings season unscathed, but this time around we had a couple that hit us a little bit, blindsided us a little bit.
Yeah, and it seems like companies, really, you know, you really haven't been necessarily, that's what we were talking about, it was kind of a show-me quarter where it's almost, you haven't really been, you know, rewarded necessarily for beats and raises nearly as much as these companies who, you know, who may even have, you know, they may beat on, you know, top and bottom line, but they're, you know, they're low, if it's not perfect and they're not, you know, if they're doing any guidance lowering going forward, then, you know, they've just been crushed. So
yes. Now, today it will be Palantir, which is, you know, pretty important software stock. Lucid Motors, that will be kind of an interesting one. Lucid and Rivian, probably second and third fiddle behind Tesla. We also will get Skyworks. They make a lot of parts for the Apple iPhones. Beyond Meat will report. I've been looking for Beyond Steak at my local grocery store. I haven't seen it yet, okay? Tyson Foods reported this morning. It was not a very good report. Then we get tomorrow, we get Barrick Gold, AMC Entertainment, and I see that Barbie is over $1 billion.
Over $1 billion, right.
So it doesn't matter if it's a good movie or not, just that name Barbie. We went to an ice cream store over the weekend. We were up in the Pawleys Island area, and they got like 70 homemade flavors of ice cream, and they had Barbie ice cream, which was pink and blue, and a cone. They had a Barbie cone that was pink and blue with
everything,
and it was selling like hotcakes.
Sponsored by Mattel.
Yeah. Tomorrow we get Lilly reporting. They have a really important drug coming out. I'm going to talk about that today. That could be a blockbuster. I talked to someone over the weekend that's very knowledgeable about the weight loss drugs, and he kind of clued me in on who's the major player there. Blink Charging will report tomorrow. I'm not seeing much else. Global Foundries. Then on Wednesday, it's Disney. Okay, Disney will be a big report. Plug Power on Wednesday. Roblox. Wendy's. Thursday, it's Alibaba. Friday, consumer brands. So that's what we have to look forward to. Now, when we come back, where are we at right now in this earnings season? What do the numbers say? And what can we take from those numbers and project the S&P 500 into the future at? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks show with the Dow up 310 right now and the NASDAQ up 26 right now. All right, earnings season. We are about done with earnings season because we've had 84% of the companies reporting actual results. 79% of those companies that have reported have beat their earnings estimates, which is about average. I mean, 75% is probably average. Maybe we're just a little bit above average of the companies that beat. You know, and I've had people say, how can you trust those analyst estimates? How can you base target prices and whatnot on analyst estimates? Well, look how close they are, the analysts. And, you know, I mean, a big part of that whole equation is the guidance that they get from the companies.
Well, you know, and they move the market. I mean, it doesn't matter. We can, I mean, if they think it matters, right, then it matters because the market is interpreting it that way.
And consider that most companies usually report within a penny or two, right, of the analyst estimates. And the good news is, all right, 65% have beat their revenue estimates for Q2. Last week, the estimate for this full quarter, $52.31 was the estimate for last week. Today, after all of those companies reported last week, it goes up to $53.52. I think that's pretty good. It went up $1.21. The expectation, which is 16% of the companies left to go. So it really improved after kind of a sloppy first week. We had a very good second week. And if we finish at $53.52, it will still be 5% less than the same quarter last year. But when at one point during this quarter, we thought it was going to come in around 9% less. So the numbers have improved quite a bit here. With last week's big set of earnings coming in. So $53.52 is now the estimate for this quarter, and that compares to the same quarter last year, $56.69. So that would be a 5% drop from a year ago. But a year ago was kind of a very better than expected quarter because we were still feeling the effect of the coming out of COVID highs, okay? And the revenue growth improved this past week. It's expected to grow. The revenue actually this quarter versus last quarter up 0.6%. So what does that tell you if the revenue grew by almost 1%, the sales? But the earnings are going to drop by 5%. That can only tell you one thing, that the margins are thinner, right?
Right. And revenue, I mean, on the silver lining of that is that revenues are harder to, manipulate in terms of, earnings per share. You can do, there's a lot of different add backs and other things. But when you're talking about a top line revenue number, You know, it's basically, you know, as clean as it gets, but yeah, you're not paying as much from, you know, that margin compression as what we've.
And the profit margin, it's expected to come in at about 11.3%. We've been up around 12.5. So why are you seeing pressure on the net margins? Well, that's the inflation. We had companies that had to kind of lower their price a little bit, not quite make as much money as they normally would to maybe clear out some inventory, etc. But all in all, I mean, it's pretty good. The biggest issue I have with the market right now, the S&P forward P.E. ratio, it actually went down to 19.2, okay? So with those good earnings coming in, that lowered the forward P.E. to 19.2. We started the year at 17, so we're up. The multiple has expanded quite a bit with the more favorable Fed. Can it expand more? You know, maybe a little, but you know, the five-year average is 18.6, and now we're at 19.2. So we're kind of at a multiple the market should be at, unless you're Oppenheimer and they think that the multiple will expand to 22.5. I don't see that. I mean, if that happens, the market goes to 5,000, close to 5,000 by the end of the year. I don't see that, but I do see the market closing higher by the end of the year, barring some big unknown factor, than where it's at now. But the upside potential in stocks is a lot skinnier than it was at the beginning of the year when the forward PE was 17. Now we're at 19.2. For the year, we're expecting earnings growth of 1%. That's it. And revenue growth of 2.5%. But this back half of the year, we're expecting things to grow a lot better than they did in the first half of the year. The first half of the year, we're expecting some compression in margins, which took a hit down to the earnings. And now we think that that's behind us. And next year, 2024, the market is, or the analysts are looking for 12% growth. In earnings. And it's probably high. They're usually high, too high. Usually you see it start to come down. But that's where it's at right now for next year, 2024, and 5% growth in sales. So you can't call this, you know, I mean, now you're coming down to what the economy is going to do and what inflation is going to do. And what the multiple of the market, which is directly connected to interest rates, and I think interest rates are going to settle down somewhere under 4 here. So it still looks okay, but you have to be a stock picker now. You have to find companies with 75-80% or more upside potential. Europe continues to slow down. I haven't seen any good numbers out of Europe for a while. Germany's industrial production drops 1.5% in June. Now, here you've got opposing opinions. Jefferies, we think that a recession is almost inevitable. Okay, J.P. Morgan,
well,
no
at
longer
some point,
sees
at some point
a recession.
It is inevitable, right?
Yeah, let's see if they gave any kind of time frame. We expect a recession to begin in Q1 of 24. Okay, so they think by January of next year, we'll have a negative GDP for a quarter. We'll have two down quarters in a row and we'll be in recession. And J.P. Morgan, well, maybe they agree. Who knows? Because they no longer see a recession this year. So everybody that has a recession forecast seems to be pushing that forecast ahead to next year. So I think we can go with the numbers that are out there right now. But again, the trick is finding stocks that have better upside potential, obviously, than the overall market. And I'm also seeing that I think the consensus right now is a soft landing, which seemed unthinkable. Maybe a year ago or so, everybody was predicting that the Fed would put the U.S. economy into a recession by their aggressive rate hikes. You know, we had, what, how many quarters in a row of 75 base? Four in a row. We went up 3% in four quarters. But now the consensus is a soft landing. So kind of smooth sailing for now, but you have to be selective. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. So the biggest conundrum for the market right now is an overall market valuation. It's not expensive. It's not overpriced, but it's pretty fairly priced at 19.2 times forward earnings. The five-year average, again, is 18.5. Does it deserve a premium? Not really, not with the 10-year over 4% right now. Now if the 10-year starts dropping, which it was until Fitch came along and downgraded U.S. debt, now we're kind of stuck in this 4% area. So now you've got to find stocks underneath the surface of the market that have a lot more upside potential, obviously, than the overall market. Now, I'm just going to give you a poster child here of a problem that the market has and a stock that's kind of caught up in all of that. Apple is a perfect example. I don't like the chart of Apple. Now, we own Apple, okay, but we bought Apple back in January, so we have a big gain in Apple.
And it was one of the first places, I mean, it was one of the places we wanted to dip your toe back in the water from a market, you know,
right,
or beta perspective, right? And they're an easy one to do just because they make up so much of it.
I wasn't ready to go back into Teladoc or Roku or whatever else, the high-flying, long-duration stocks. Okay, so Apple, after their earnings report, their expectations for next year did not budge at all. They were $6.57 for next year. And they're still $6.57. So like I say, it was a very lukewarm report. But here's the biggest problem for Apple. Over the last 5 years, Apple has been growing their earnings. If you compound that earnings growth over the last 5 years and you annualize it, 22% per year. Okay? That's a superior growth company. You know, you compare that over the last 5 years. Now, we're looking in the rearview mirror. IBM has been negative 12% per year. All right, so, but now it's the next 5 years that we're concerned with. And I can tell you what the consensus analyst estimate is, Barry, for the next 5 years on Apple, their growth? 6.3.
Yeah, and see, so, there's got to be a catalyst there somewhere, right?
It's
like you say, you've got, you know, if you're making that long term bet, you're betting on some form of innovation, whatever that. If it's a headset, if it's a car, who knows what? Right?
Yeah, well, a good example would be Nvidia, where everyone was expecting like 8 or 9, 10, then they came along with their AI announcement, and now all of a sudden their growth rate for the next 5 years has gone way up. But Apple's has been languishing at about, 6.4? That's the consensus. That's a slow growth company. That's a very slow growth company.
Yeah, of course they're growing off of growing off of a huge base, because we talked about this, you know, just mathematically, right? I mean, you've got to have new markets, whether it's, you know, pickup in sales in India or what have you, in order to fuel that future growth. Because when you're, you know, when you're, I forget what their revenue, in their revenue around $100 billion, you know, a quarter or something.
Let's see, their latest quarter, their sales growth was down 1% from last year. Yeah, they're at $80 billion a quarter.
Yeah, so I mean, you're growing three. You know, try to go 10, you know, double digits, right? I mean, you're essentially growing, essentially $32 billion, right, in new sales a year, which is, I mean, it's that is not easy to do.
No, So, I, you know what, I'm being optimistic. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, and I have my five-year growth rate at about eight and a half, somewhere in there. And then I got to say, well, what kind of multiple are you going to give to Apple? Because it's not a glamour multiple anymore. You're not going to get a 50, 60 multiple on Apple like it used to get in the glory days. It's probably a 25 to 30 now, somewhere in that range. And, you know, that gives you about 45% upside potential. Yes, it's higher from where the stock is now. But would you rather invest new money in a stock that has 45% upside potential over the next 5 years or one that has 90% upside potential?
Yeah, I think the best way to, probably the best way to kind of describe it, right, is that there's just not that much alpha there, right?
No.
Because the fact that they're going to, you know, essentially, you know, they make up, what, 7.5% of the S&P 500.
Yep.
So any, you know, keeps a nice floor on there when people are buying SPY. But at the same time, it can only, you know, as also part of, you know, being so big to the market, right? It's hard for, you know, Apple to not look like just a normal market return at the same time. The further you go, you know, down the road with the company without a new innovation, then the more you're going to look like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what would change the trajectory? It's something new. Okay, it would be something new. Okay, here's my story of the day. Zoom. The company, Zoom, tells employees to return to the office. Okay, this is Zoom.
Stop it.
The company that invented remote work. That's not very good advertising to me, all right? That's telling you that the company Zoom itself doesn't want their employees using Zoom. They want them to return to the office. And, you know, that's one where you had a stock that was in the right place at the right time, and that stock zoomed. During COVID, it went to $588 per share.
Yeah, and it was amazing because, we've over the years used so many different video conferencing softwares. It's not like it was, wasn't a new concept, you know, and it was just, that was always the surprising piece to me in terms of how it performed potentially as a, you know, particularly as a stock. I mean, it could be adopted, you know, from a technology standpoint by a lot of folks, but the stock, I mean, it zoomed higher as well, but, you know, really wasn't anything new that you haven't seen before.
No. Now, okay, talk about earnings dropping off a cliff. Of course, it happened for Pfizer last week and for Moderna and for BioNTech, et cetera. Zoom, over the last 5 years, if you compound their earnings growth, 226% per year, but it mostly happened in those few years of COVID. Now they're a single-digit grower.
Wow.
Their most recent quarter, their earnings were up 3%. So from 226 to 3, that's what you call dropping off of a cliff. Apple's going from 22 to about 7 or 8. That's pretty bad. But Zoom is even a more dramatic, example of that. Okay, now, the weight loss drugs. Okay, I talked to a friend of mine over the weekend. He's been a biotech CEO. He is really, he's a smart guy when it comes to the drug industry, and he's been in it for a long time. And he was there when Fen-Phen came around, and they took a good drug, they added something to it, and then that made it damaging to the heart, and they took a good drug off the market. And we were talking about the new drugs coming out, Wegovy, which is out there from Novo Nordisk. He said the major player is going to be Lilly. When they get the FDA, let's see, their drug is called, what's it called? It's called... I can't think of the name right now, but he says that's going to probably be the best one of all. And I said, how does that actually work? And he says it makes you not ever even want to eat food again is how it works. It takes away your cravings.
Right.
I said, what about Ben and Jerry's ice cream? Will it work on that? And he said,
Will you still enjoy it? I mean, is it like, I wonder if you still enjoy, you know, even if you do eat it, I wonder if, I wonder if you still, it's like, oh, this
that's
ice cream
what I
is
asked
great.
Him.
Or it's
I
like,
said, well, that's one of the great joys of life, going
right.
into a homemade ice cream parlor and ordering your favorite. Well, theirs is Mangiaro. Mongero, he says Lilly has got a potential blockbuster there. Of course, I mean, Wegovy is too. But anyways, half of Americans, half of U.S. adults want weight loss drugs. And so, you know, the major players right now are Novo Nordisk and Lilly.
Yeah, Novo, they report on Thursday, actually.
Yes, and they're using their diabetes therapy, Ozempic, has been approved for chronic weight management in adults, and has created a shortage in the chemical semaglutide. But there's some biotechs also to take note of, especially, I would say, Viking Therapeutics. And Rhythm Pharmaceuticals also have weight, and VTV Therapeutics also have weight loss drugs. Pfizer does too, in their pipelines. And I think, now you can end up paying, weight loss medications can end up costing $900 to $1,300 for a monthly supply of these drugs. But half of U.S. People in the U.S. want to take a weight loss drug. So this could be the big next revolution in the drug industry. Keep your eye on Lilly and NVO. We'll be right back. But I must use the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what it's good for. I've been in a rape plea. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. There's a lot going on in the market underneath the surface that's always interesting. This is another, here, how about a stock that's up 611% today? Okay. Vistagen, VTGN, they have a social anxiety nasal spray. How do you like that one, huh?
Nose spray, I mean, that's interesting on how the format that they decided to deliver it in. I mean,
if you see somebody entering a party and spraying something, using a nasal spray.
It sounds like asthma, right?
I mean, it makes you the life of the party,
right?
I guess. All right, well, let's go to the Dow. Come down from our nasal spray high. Dow, Boeing is leading the Dow. Boeing had a sensational report. I would say of all the Dow stocks, it was one of the better reports. Boeing was languishing around 208 to 220. Now it's 237. All of a sudden, it's up 2.3%. Another stock that does have a weight loss drug candidate and also had a good report last week is Amgen. Now, Amgen has been a 4% grower per year over the last 5 years. Very sluggish, very slow growth. And, you know, like I say, some of these big tech stocks are starting to enter into, or that kind of slow growth territory is in the quarters and years ahead for them, because a lot of it's mathematics. Amgen is up today, 2.3%. There's a lot of excitement right now today, I think, because of this article that's out and how many people are wanting to try these weight loss drugs. Johnson & Johnson's up 1.8% in the Dow. It's been a mediocre performer, another very slow growth company. 5-6% a year is all they're growing at. Walmart up 1.8%. And Walmart also entered that slow growth territory. But Walmart's been breaking out to new highs. They've been expanding their multiple a little bit. Maybe their online sales are, at least keeping them in.
Yeah, they certainly reinvented. They certainly kind of executed that online, mobile, and even, pickup at store kind of concept.
I see a lot of people picking up their orders at Walmart, picking up their orders. And then I was at somebody's house one evening. They have 12 kids. They live in our neighborhood. 12, Barry, not half a dozen, a dozen. And Walmart showed up delivering groceries, some guy out of the trunk of his car. It filled their whole, like, you know, the guy was lugging stuff, a lot of bags.
Right.
But they deliver, you know, Walmart delivers to your door, so they're kind of keeping up. I don't know how their online is. I've never ordered anything online from Walmart myself. I have from Sam's Club. But Walmart, you know, they've seen some, their multiple has expanded, which isn't bad. Okay, now at the S&P 500, another drug story. Viatris, VTRS, which is a generic drug maker, they're getting FDA clearance for an MS drug, and it met the endpoint. So I think they're, let's see, I think, where are they at? Let's see, they're a multiple sclerosis drug therapy is accepted for FDA review. So they've gotten another step in the process, and that stock is up 7.1% today. DaVita, which that's a diabetes company, up 6%.
Dialysis company.
Yep. United Rentals is up 4%. Expedia, which got whacked last week, is up 3.5%. The two losers in the S&P, Tyson Foods, I'm going to call that the worst stock of the day. It's down 11%. And they said that they're having huge problems with workers, getting workers, and they're having huge problems with supply and inflation still on the feed and whatnot. So Tyson's down 11% today. And at the NASDAQ, you got three big horsemen having a tough day. Tesla's down 2.7%, Apple's down 2.7%, and Qualcomm's down 1.2%. So the NASDAQ's going to have a hard time eking out a profit today. But Applied Materials is doing good. It's up 2.5%. Booking.com, which had a fantastic report on Friday, that's one of our bigger holdings. Booking's up 2.3%. AMD, which had a big gain in the after hours, like on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday they downgraded the U.S. debt. That was a good buying opportunity in AMD. AMD's up 2.1% today. It was up Friday. Lam Research is up 1.9%. So the semiconductors are having a pretty good day today, but not Qualcomm. And Apple is a drag both on the Dow, on the S&P, and the NASDAQ with their sluggish report from last week. Okay, well, if you would like, I forgot to do a featured stock in the newsletter this week. So next week maybe I'll do two. We were babysitting a little bit. I was babysitting while I was right. So my brain was a little bit, you know. So we'll get a featured stock of the week in the newsletter next week. But I did a very important update on the earnings. You can see my target price. You know, we saw Oppenheimer's at 4,900 by the end of the year. The average 12-month target price, now going out 12 months, so this time next year, is around 5,000 right now.
Yeah, and you got previously ones that you featured reporting earnings tomorrow, so on Tuesday.
Yes,
so.
And yeah, we made a few changes too. We made a few new buys, so that's it was in the portfolio or in the newsletter too. So you get two free weeks at GunnersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, if you're not happy with your guy, your gal, maybe you're doing it. I don't know. It's time consuming. It's hard to stay on top of things. All these earnings reports, the macro outlook, all of these economic reports. That's what we do. Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or whether you want to have a fair fee charge for having it managed by us. Give us a call, set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.